we are recording again.
Yeah.
It's been a week.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is episode 2, and we're super excited about what we've decided to talk about today. Brianna, what is that?
So today we're going to be talking about the life of Jesus, which is so exciting because we love talking about the life of Jesus because we find it extremely interesting just how he interacted with people during his life here on earth and just his reactions to things.
100%. You know, I say this a lot, but something I notice is the way that Christians present Jesus is very different from the way that he actually lived. Jesus was somebody who fought for people. He was somebody who stood up for the rights of people who may be marginalized in his society and in turn in our society. Jesus loves people so much, and that's what he was about. He was about love.
Exactly. I think it's so interesting when we read the Bible, we see not just this person who's elevated above everyone else who just lived a perfect life, but it was someone who walked with people no matter what they were going through, no matter what they had done in the past. Like, he walked with them and he was right there beside them telling them that salvation was theirs.
Exactly. What I love is when we think of Jesus living a perfect life, I like to look at it like Jesus lived 100% in love. He lived every action, every word that he had was out of love for people. And I see that constantly. I think of the time when, if you read your Bibles, you know, you can see this happening. But Jesus comes into the temple and there are a bunch of people selling animals there inside the temple. And what they're doing is, in their religion, what they did was they sacrificed animals to, like, atone for their sins, pointing forward to what Jesus would do for them. But the thing is, the temple leadership was taking advantage of that and taking advantage of the people. And a lot of times in churches, you may have heard the story, we talk a lot about the amount of money that they were taking from people, that they were, like, ripping them off. But I think there's a deeper message, because if you look at where the temple is in Jerusalem, you look where they were doing that, you can see that it was in this place called the Court of the Gentiles. And now what that is basically is anyone who wasn't Jewish, they called a Gentile. And so the truth is they were selling animals who were using the bathroom on the ground, animals who were, like, messy, maybe a little bit smelly, really loud. They were selling them in the very place where people who weren't Jewish were supposed to worship. And I believe that's where Jesus got so mad. Jesus saw this happening, this injustice against another race, and he was like, no, this needs to stop. And what he did was he overturned those tables, he set the animals free, and he drove those people out of the temple. And it's kind of crazy. Jesus took an extremely, almost aggressive place in that situation. He drove them out because he loved people so much.
Right. And kind of just to paint the picture a little bit, it's kind of like we have people worshiping in one place that's super nice and super clean and super, you know, friendly and open to everyone. And then we have the people that were more shunned in society worshiping in a place that was dirty and gross and messy. And that's frustrating. Of course he would be upset. Like, these are people that he calls his own and they're worshiping basically in poop.
No, exactly. Exactly. He saw this injustice and he did something about it. And I think this is very different from the Jesus that we've been presented a lot of times with more traditional Christians. But this was something that he did. He stood up for people. And Brianna and I, we have a burden on our heart to show people the real Jesus, to introduce them, to introduce you to who Jesus is, a God that loves you so very much, no matter what. And I think this is indicative of the next portion that we wanted to go into, which is something that I guess affects us all in some ways. It's guilt. You know, it's that feeling you get when you remember things you may have done in the past or you've done recently that you're not too proud of.
Right. I think one of the bigger aspects of us looking at Jesus's life and him standing up for people is him standing up for people who don't feel like they deserve it. And they feel like maybe they're not good enough to be with God, or they're not good enough to live a Christian lifestyle, or whatever it may be. And I think when we look at Jesus's life, he doesn't look at people like that. He looks at them as a whole person. He looks at them as their best, at their best, not at their worst. And I think that's very powerful, because a lot of the times us as human beings, we look at ourselves at our worst and we're like, wow, we're horrible. Like, I did this horrible thing and now this is me for the rest of my life and I could never overcome that thing. But that's not how Jesus looks at you.
Exactly. Exactly. Something that's beautiful is we see Jesus when he interacts with people, that he brings them to their best and he tells them, hey, you're loved. You have a future. One story that comes to mind is when he was talking to a woman who was caught in adultery. Brianna knows this story really well. Brianna, why don't you tell it?
Yeah. So this woman was caught doing something that she shouldn't have been doing necessarily, regardless of whose fault that was. She was basically caught by the religious leaders and thrown into, I don't know what you would call it, like the community center, let's say. And basically they're like, you've done this horrible thing and now you're going to be punished for it. And Jesus shows up and he's like, no, how about the person who has never done anything bad before, you be the first one to condemn her and punish her. And everyone walks away because they realize that no one's perfect. No one could meet that standard that Jesus was asking them to meet. And when everyone walked away, Jesus looks at this woman and he's like, who is here to condemn you?
Exactly. He draws away all of the accusers that she had. He draws away everyone who was saying, you are horrible, you should be punished, and everything. And he says, hey, nobody's here to accuse you. He's like, I don't accuse you. Now walk in my light. Walk in my love. Walk in a better life with me. He invites her to walk with him, to spend a life being a Christian, you know, being a follower of Jesus Christ. And I think these stories bring so much beauty because so many times we look at religion and we're like, wow, it's so incriminating. It's so like judgmental.
It's very like pointing out every single one of your flaws and showing you what you should and shouldn't be doing.
Exactly, exactly. But what I love about the way of Jesus is that he's not about that. He's about living a new life in freedom from maybe some of the things you did in the past instead of trying to be ashamed of it and trying to make up for it.
Right. It's like when I think of that story, I see two sides, like the very religious side where it's these people pointing out at this woman saying, you've done something wrong, like we're going to punish you for it. And Jesus coming in as a very loving human being and saying, just walk with me. He's not saying, look at what you did. It was so horrible and you have to, you know, never do that again. What he's saying is, walk with me. Your life will be different. The way you do things will be different. And I think that's the coolest part of the story to me because it just shows a side of Christianity that reflects love to all people, no matter what what they've done, what they're doing, what they were caught doing. It doesn't matter because Jesus still loves them.
Exactly. Exactly. And what I see out of these stories and out of the life of Jesus is that what it means is that you can walk from here in freedom from all the shame and guilt we might have in our lives. I'm pretty sure almost everybody has something they're ashamed of. And Jesus says, hey, I love you, and I went and I died for you so that you don't have to live with that burden on your back again. And one day you can spend eternity with me. I think it's beautiful. On that note, we actually have a guest here that some of you might know. His name is Pastor Dave. If you've come to camp, you know him as the camp director. He always tells great stories about Jesus and shows us the love of God. Hey, Pastor Dave, how are you doing?
I am doing well. It's great to be on the podcast today.
Awesome, awesome. So we've talked to Pastor Dave. We've briefed him on this topic of Jesus and how he relates to our guilt in our everyday lives. And we wanted to ask you, Pastor Dave, when Jesus came to earth, like what kind of people did he come to show love to and to show that they don't have to be guilty all their lives?
I love the Gospel of Luke. John's probably my favorite, but Luke would come in a close second. And what I like about the Gospel of Luke is that it's all about Jesus and food, which is an interesting combination. But you watch in the Gospel of Luke who Jesus brings to his table, and it tells us a lot about how Jesus ministered. In Jesus' day, eating was a sign of intimacy, and there were, it was tightly controlled by the religious elite. You didn't eat with certain people. If you did, you had to wash your hands in certain ways. You would never have a Samaritan at the table. You'd never have someone who was seen as a sinner at the table. And yet Jesus invites himself over to Zacchaeus' house, tax collector, you know, and that's a scandal. And he allows the woman with that jar of incense, this woman who was a sinner in the eyes of the Jews, allows her to come and wash his feet with her tears, anoint her feet, his feet with the perfume. And then I imagine, and the scripture doesn't say this, but I imagine Jesus saying, rather than just saying, oh, go on your way, you come sit with me. You can be my guest tonight. And everyone's scandalized. And Jesus, in response to the shock and awe of the onlookers, says, I'm not here to help those that don't need a savior. A doctor, you know, you don't go to a doctor unless you're sick. I'm here to seek and save the lost. And Jesus goes out of his way to make it known that people who were on the outside of the quote religious circle were on the inside of the kingdom. And in fact, one author says it was how Jesus eats in the Gospel of Luke that eventually got him killed. He was willing to go to the cross to make his point.
That's true. That's true. I love that. I love seeing Jesus in a light, not where it's like, hey, people felt like they had to give up of things to come to him and to be like, oh, I need to be in a certain place to be with him. But he was like, no, come to me as you are. Come to me, you know, with your brokenness. Come to me with whatever sin you might have, whatever guilt you might have. And he's like, I'm going to give you peace because I'm going to walk with you. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And Pastor Dave, let me ask you another thing. So in these stories, Jesus accepts these people. But how do we see him work with them? How do we see him walk with them after he interacts with them initially?
Yeah, he never just invites himself over for dinner or has an interaction and walk away and leaves them unchanged. You know, the woman who was caught in adultery, he says, I don't condemn you, but he doesn't leave it there. He says, now go and don't sin anymore. And that's not a don't sin or you'll be in trouble, but my forgiveness is going to be the catalyst to help you to do this. When he invites himself over to Zacchaeus' house, Zacchaeus stands up and says, I'm going to make everything right. And everyone else is scandalized, and he says, this man too is a son of Abraham. And all his life, Zacchaeus wasn't included because he was a traitor. He was an outsider. And she says, no, he's part of my family too. And so he's continually drawing people into the kingdom life. Mary Magdalene, one of Jesus' closest followers, is routinely seen sitting at his feet, which was a posture reserved for the teacher-student relationship. And in that day, women were never students of a rabbi, and yet Jesus says, no, she's chosen to be my student. It won't be taken away from her. So he invites these people, as he often says, to follow him, which is entering into a lifelong journey with him. I think that's always been the invitation of Jesus.
So what I'm hearing and what we see Jesus do is he almost invites them. They come as they are, and he invites them into something new, a completely new life, where their past seems just to be let go of. Where, I don't know about you guys, but I think all of us carry some sort of guilt in our lives. And we can see that in our past, maybe we did something, maybe we saw something, whatever happened, there might be some burden on our hearts and on our shoulders. And we want to tell you here at Sunset Lake that Jesus wants to invite you into something new. He wants to invite you to walk with him and to be in relationship with him. And it's really beautiful. So thank you so much, Pastor Dave, for being here.
Yeah, you're welcome.
We appreciate it.
Let me say one last thing, because I think it's important when we enter into this journey with Jesus. It's a dynamic journey. Peter blows it over and over and over again, and Jesus continually reinvites him into that journey. And I think sometimes when we are confronted with our own failures, even after following Jesus, we think, well, maybe I've blown it. Maybe he wouldn't want to have me back. But that journey is dynamic, and his invitation is always re-extended. And so failure is not something that ever would exclude us from his kingdom.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you so much. Never forget that. Anytime there's failure, Anytime we may stumble, we may think that we really messed up, there's never exclusion from the kingdom of God. He loves you so much. All right. Thank you so much, Pastor Dave, for joining us.
Great. We'll see you at camp next summer.